Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. Our text this morning is Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Please follow along in your Bible, or if you forgot to bring it today, should be one in one of the pew racks in front of you. As I read Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his holy word. There are many famous battlefields. There are places of great victory and places of monumental defeat. Names like the Little Bighorn, Gettysburg, Appomattox, the Alamo, Iwo Jima, all conjure up visions of battles which immortalized the locations where they occurred. Many great battles were recorded in the Bible. We've talked about two of those battles here. You probably don't remember them. That was some years ago that we talked about it. But there was the Battle of Jericho, the Battle of Ai, and of course, Armageddon. Many a brave soldier has spilled his blood upon a battlefield because he believed in a cause or he loved a country. Yet there are being battles fought every day. They are battles which will never be entered in the annals of history. And these battles are being fought this very moment. And some are being fought in this very sanctuary. Of course, the battlefield is not a piece of land. The battle plan does not involve a naval maneuver or a sortie flown over a distant country. The fight is not for land or food or political power. The stakes are much higher than that. The victor in this battle will realize a much grander reward, an eternal reward. The battleground is in our minds. If there was ever a battle we must fight and a victory we must win, this is it. Satan, our adversary, Satan, the enemy, is seeking to devour us. Yet our greatest enemy is not necessarily Satan. The Bible makes it plain that Satan is a defeated enemy. He lost the battle to Jesus at Calvary when Jesus arose from the grave victorious and gave the victory to his church. No, Satan is not our greatest problem. We are our greatest problem. Locked in our minds are many secrets regarding our sins, and in the secret recesses of our mind, the battle with ourselves rages day after day. Paul prefers to this battlefield as the carnal mind. Simply stated, our nature tends to fight against the teaching of God. We are at odds with God and have no way of reconciling the differences we have with him on our own. When we attempt to understand the nature of God with the natural mind, we shall always be unsuccessful. God's nature must be received and understood through faith. I want to say that again. God's nature must be received and understood through faith. Because it's not logical for us to accept the spoken word would create the universe. It's not logical to think that an iron axe head will float or a man could walk on water. We cannot explain Jericho's walls falling at the sound of a trumpet and the shout of victory. It defies logic for 5,000 people to be satisfied by 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We only believe and understand these occurrences or these events through faith. We have no scientific evidence to prove them. We have no physics that can demonstrate to the scientific mind or the secular mind that they could occur. It is precisely at the point of believing through faith when we accept our biggest battles. We have been taught the stories from the Bible since we were young children. Many of us have worked through the doubts we had about events which occurred in those stories, and now at a mature age, we embrace these events with faith, which is wonderful. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to have faith in these events and believe that they occur. However, faith is just not for the past. We must learn about God and mature in our walk with Him by faith. We must take the faith that we possessed in the past and utilize it today. To live by faith, we must keep the faith without losing our minds. You know, Paul said that the living sacrifice we to present to God is a spiritual gift, a spiritual act of worship. And serving God is a choice we make. It's a choice based upon reasoning abilities and our ability to think or to rationalize. Only mankind of all the creatures is given the ability to make a rational decision to worship God and to praise Him. And it is with this decision we battle. Serving God is about choices and choices that we must make individually. You know, Jesus said, if any man would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So when we make that choice to follow Jesus, it is a spiritual act of worship. It's a rational decision prompted by faith in God's word. A decision to follow Jesus based on emotion will not work. Brother Bill alluded to that in our deacons' meeting this morning, that you have to have faith. When a decision is based upon an emotion, think about those decisions that you made based upon an emotion. The good-looking truck, you love that color truck, and you didn't look beyond that, and you decided to buy it based on the color, and then you got to driving it and found out that it didn't have the attributes that you wanted in a truck. So when the emotion is gone, so is the commitment that we've made. And this quite often happens in revivals and in evangelistic meetings. How many times do we go to a crusade? Or like we used to go to crusades when Billy Graham and Dr. Peter Marshall would come in an area and have an evangelistic meeting and 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people would give themselves to Christ. And if you looked a year later behind the statistics, you would find out that many of those, quite often, two-thirds of those, made that decision based upon emotion of the moment and not upon a true conviction by the Holy Spirit. And so they fell by the wayside instead of becoming committed followers of Christ through faith. True repentance of sin is a rational decision. Some people repent out of fear. Some repent for convenience. Others repent because they're caught in their sinful act. But true definition of repentance is a changing of one's mind. We must be convinced in our mind by faith in God's word to turn away from sin. We must be convinced that if we repent of the sin, if we turn away from it, then we will have eternal life. We will have Jesus as our Savior. And if we place our faith in Him, we can live with Him forever. The life-changing power of repentance lies in the fact that we change our mind. And by this process, we keep the faith without losing our mind, without letting a situation just drive us to distraction and to continue in our sin. It's an ongoing process, daily, hourly, moment by moment. We must renew our minds and demolish arguments and every pretension against the knowledge of God. We must take captive every thought we have and make them obedient to the commands of Jesus and the commands set forth in God's word. We concluded the battle against Satan, and sin is fought on battlegrounds in our minds. That's the conclusion at which we arrive. And the choice we make determines the outcome of the battle. But how can we fight the battles so that we are victorious? You know, there are some facts that we believe about God which are erroneous, and if we allow these to fester in our minds, they will prevent us from rendering our spiritual act of worship, which is choosing to follow Jesus, and it will prevent us from winning the battle against sin. One fact some of us believe is that we are too sinful for God to love. Some of you may not believe that people feel that way. Those of you who are believers and who are children of God and who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior would probably say, I just can't wrap my mind around that. I can't understand how anybody could feel that. God's word tells us. Sure, God's word tells us, but you have to have faith in that word. You have to trust that word and believe it before it becomes a reality to you. And so some people feel like that what they've done, the sin or sins they committed, have been so horrific that God could not love them. We have to realize that God is a God of love. He didn't come to earth to destroy us. Remember after John 3:16 and John 3:17, Jesus said, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Jesus' desire is to save each and every one of us. And that's why He gave us the Great Commission, to help Him do that, to go therefore into all nations, teaching them to observe all things I have told you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If we shall, through faith, accept God's word and decide to serve Jesus, then we shall be victorious over Satan. Another fact some of us believe which is, well, let me say it this way. The fact is not incorrect, and that is God can do anything. The statement is correct in its truth, yet our application of it is wrong. And I want you to follow me now because I want you to get this point. If I were to ask for a show of hands, the majority of you, I think, would raise your hands and acknowledge that God can do anything. And you would be right. His word teaches us that. The problem is we cannot accept the fact, is that we can accept the fact that God can do anything. We cannot accept the fact that God will do anything. Think about that. I have often thought that, well, I know God could lift this building and move it 100 yards to my left with us in it and no one be harmed. I believe that. But I don't believe he will do it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like we have to be like the centurion who came to Jesus and said, if you will but speak the word, my servant will be healed. The woman with the issue of blood who said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. It's time we were transformed by a renewing of our minds. I believe God wishes to do and will do great things with us and in our midst if we allow Him. But we have limited God by our thinking God can instead of thinking God will do something. We boldly proclaim, if we ask God, He will forgive our sins. But our carnal selves cannot physically see our sins being released from the penalty that God says will occur if we sin. And this thinking keeps us from boldly proclaiming God to heal a person. Many of us would say, well, Pastor, that type of proclamation is going out on a limb. Well, that's what faith is all about. Going out on a limb because you trust God that the limb will not break. You trust Him to keep the limb from breaking. It's one thing to say God can heal anyone. But it's another thing to say God will heal this person if we but pray and ask and we pray with sincere hearts and with faith that He will do it. Now, He's not going to do it just because we have faith and just because we pray. He has a plan for each and every one of us. But so often we don't get to that point of even asking in sincere conviction for Him to do that because we don't think He will do it. We're Christians. We believe that He can do anything, but we don't ask Him sometimes to do the things that we need done. And to do it with true conviction. You know, when Jesus began His ministry, no one questioned whether or not He would heal. They had seen the examples. They had heard by word of mouth that He had done, and they just expected it. And many of those who came to for healing or had brought someone else for healing, they had no more idea of following God than I do of jumping off this roof. All they knew is that He would heal them. They were following Jesus only for the benefits to themselves or to someone they cared about. But Jesus healed them all. How much more does Jesus desire to touch those who love Him, those who have committed their lives in faith to Him than those who just want Him to do something to benefit them? Some of us believe God cannot use us to advance his kingdom here on earth. We look at our inabilities, our frailties, our weaknesses, our personalities, our failures and our shortcomings, and we say, well, God can't use somebody like me. I can't do this. I can't sing. I can't blah, blah, blah. We've talked about that before when we've talked about being approached by the nominating committee. Too many people say, nah, I just can't do that. Remember, God used a crude fisherman to preach the first sermon, to preach the first message of Christianity. God used a scholarly Pharisee to spread the gospel around the world. And God used a donkey to stop a prophet. And God used a lad's lunch to feed the multitude. Yet we hesitate to think that God can use us. We have a need for people to serve God here. And so often it falls to a select group that don't know how to say no or don't want to say no. They want to serve God. And so the others just let them do it. I can't do that. I can't serve. It's time that we renew our minds. It's time for a transforming realization and rationalization of what we are and who we are in God. Faith without works is dead. We know that. It's time we acted in faith on what God desires us to do. Start a new ministry program. Ramona has done this. Make the choice to do God's work. Some of you last year made that choice for the first time when the nominating committee came to you. God bless you. If God has called, then God will empower. If God has called you to do a task, he'll see that you get it done. You may not get it done as quickly as you want to do it. You may not get it done in the manner that you thought it should be done, but God will guide you because if he calls you, he will empower you. But we need to lose the carnal mind and use the spiritual act of worship. The spiritual mind sees by means of faith in God's word and chooses to make the sacrifice that is necessary to accomplish his will and advance his kingdom on earth. It's not difficult. It's not hard. God's word is easy to understand if you but study it, if you but come to Sunday school, if you but come to Bible study, if you do daily devotions, if you seek out references because you don't understand a particular passage of scripture, if you learn, if you study, it's not difficult. But we need to make that choice in order to advance God's kingdom and accomplish his will. And if you're not a believer and you're here this morning and maybe the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and your mind and you feel led to become a believer, to say, yes, I will not lose my mind. I will keep the faith. I will have faith in God's word. I will believe not only the things that occurred during the time the Bible was written, but also things that we can do today. And I will pray to God, and I will use my faith to accomplish what he wants me to accomplish. If you want to do that, we'd be glad to have you come and make a profession of your faith here today. And our hymn of invitation is number 287, Take My Life and Let It Be.